This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here's Hoyer bootleg rollout, rolling to the middle, stepping up. He's got Gabriel wide open. He's got it. First and goal.
Cleveland native, former Browns quarterback and Super Bowl champion Brian Hoyer on the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. Brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose Click Cruise at MontroseFordAkron.com.
All right, you heard it. Brian Hoyer, he joins us right now. Hello, Brian. Good morning to you. Back from your trip from Europe.
Hey, Ken, Anthony, how are you doing? Missed you guys last week, but I had the opportunity to go out to Germany and open a flag football facility. So, look, football's growing, and it's going to be in the Olympics in 2028, and I can tell you the Germans love football, so it was a fun experience.
The Germans love Hasselhoff, and they love football. What are you out there?
Did you consult with our buddy Joe Thomas on this? He certainly knows the lay of the land out there.
Oh, yeah. Joe was chirping me the whole time he was in Munich. Come on, you got to come help coach these quarterbacks. I'm like, Joe, I'm still playing. Like, I can't just pick up and leave. And look, I actually got to visit, Joe helped coach the Munich Ravens, and I was in Dusseldorf, so I went to a Rhein Fire practice. If you guys remember that from the old NFL Europe, they have the league there, and got to walk through, and Jim Tom Sula is their head coach. So look, they're growing the sport there, which is pretty cool to see, obviously, with games being played there. And I remember, my dad's from Germany, so when his cousins would come over, they wanted to do was go to the Browns game. So it's growing, and this sport is obviously bigger than ever, which is always great for all of us.
Yeah, the Browns should be very big in Germany by now. All right, Tone, take it away.
So I imagine at the height of all your conversations over there in Germany had to be, who's the better all-time Colorado quarterback, Shador Sanders or Slash?
Yeah, look, I've been listening this morning. It's an interesting argument, obviously, bringing it up because of the retirement of Shador's number. I can't believe when you guys ran off. I mean, to me, like, you would think Cordell would be – his number would be retired. I remember growing up watching him play, and then obviously he went to the Steelers, so I didn't like him at all. But he was such an intriguing player and so talented. And to me, I don't know how you can retire Shador's number and not retire Cordell Stewart. I mean – really, we're not talking about a football super powerhouse here in college football with Colorado, but when I think of Colorado, I think of Cordell Stewart and Rashawn Salaam, and because of my football education, Byron Wizard White. I mean, those are the only three guys that come to mind. And so to me, I don't think you can, they're going to retire Shador's. Obviously, Travis Hunter is probably the best player who's ever played at Colorado. I know you guys said that, but there's got to be something for Cordell if you're going to retire Shador's number.
Brian Hoyer joining us here. All right, Brian, Joe Flacco, you were pretty excited when the Browns signed Joe Flacco. Why?
Well, I think they're a playoff team with Joe Flacco, and I know he's older, but look what he did. It was just a few short years ago, comes in midseason, is the comeback player of the year, takes the Browns to the playoffs. And look, a big reason they didn't want to bring him back is because they didn't want that threatening competition in the room with Deshaun, and clearly that didn't work out. And so to me, it's a great reunion. Obviously, he has a great relationship with Coach Stefanski and their offensive system. And Joe is more than capable. I mean, I heard one of the callers saying he's not that big of a guy. He's the biggest quarterback that I've ever played with in the league. 6'6", 230, 240, a huge arm, and is a smart player. And so to me, the Browns are a playoff team with Joe Flacco. I think they have a good enough team, a good coaching staff. And to me, at this point, it allows you to draft the best player available at number two, which I love. Because to me, honestly, I think Tennessee is drafting out of necessity and not – we're assuming they're going to take Ward at one. I think that's more out of necessity than actually taking the best player, because I do think the two best players in this draft are Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. So by signing Flacco, I know it's a short stopgap. Obviously, you have Kenny Pickett in the room as well. It allows you to draft the best player in the draft, because we know or we're assuming that Tennessee's not going to draft the best player in the draft. They're drafting a quarterback because they need it. So now you have the selection, whether it's Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, to really improve your team. And actually, the more I look at it, I would lean towards Abdul Carter and kind of model your team after the Philadelphia Eagles. We saw what they did in the Super Bowl, getting after Patrick Mahomes with a pass rush. I think they blitzed one time the entire game. Build that strength in that pass rush. You have Myles Garrett, you add Abdul Carter, bolster the defense, and then to me, you go out and you get a quarterback in the second round, and Ken, you know who I like as a potential guy to come in and now learn under Flacco.
Tell everyone.
Another big guy, and it's Will Howard. And I've liked him up to this point, watching him on film. I've liked what he did in that college football playoff run. And the more I watch him, whether it's the Gruden show, whether it's Hey Rookie with the NFL, he just has this, I don't want to call it it, but the personality, I think guys are going to be drawn to him. I think he has leadership skills. He has, as the young kids might call it, aura. The more I watch the kid, the more I listen to him, the more I like him. And I don't think there's this big separation from him, Jackson Dart, Shuck from – to me, he's a winner. You saw on Gruden comparing him, he's the same size as Josh Allen. He doesn't have nearly as strong of an arm as Josh Allen. But to me, he's a versatile quarterback who's going to drop back, look to throw the ball, and if it's not there, he can pull it down and run. He can scramble. We saw the touchdown in the national championship game. They all collapsed on him. He throws it back across the middle. It was a very Josh Allen-esque play. And so to me, you have a guy now in Joe Flacco who can solidify your quarterback room. You go out, you get your best player at two, and then you figure out a way to get Will Howard at some point.
Brian Hoyer, you have so many opinions. I wrote down three different things I wanted to highlight, including Brian.
I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I have so much to say.
Yeah, I mean, you just said the Browns are a playoff team with Joe Flacco, and then you talked about Will Howard. So I want to get to Will Howard part of this quickly and seize on this. The arm strength thing, Brian, you know, you were able to hang around the league a very long time, start a bunch of games. You made a lot of money in the NFL, and your arm was something that people kind of picked apart. They're like, I don't know if Brian's arm is strong enough. And maybe if it was, you would have gotten drafted, you know, as opposed to what ended up happening, which was fortuitous for your career. So with that said, tell us how a player can get by when the arm strength isn't what some of the guys at the top of the draft might be.
Well, this is the thing. I think arm strength is one of the biggest myths in our sport. I would say, let's just say you have 32 teams, the starter and the backup on both those, so 64 guys. Out of those 64, there's really like five guys that have elite arm strength that is better than the rest. And there's probably five guys at the bottom that are true finesse play. But the guys in the middle, we all throw the same. Look, I played catch with a lot of them. Tom Brady, Jay Cutler, Ryan Mallett. I mean, I played Jimmy Garoppolo. Look, we're all kind of same. Now, there's guys, obviously, like Matthew Stafford, Mahomes, Josh Allen. Look, Joe Burrow, to me, doesn't have the elite arm strength. He has great ball placement, great timing, all of those things. And so, to me, Will Howard fits in the middle. He's definitely not on the bottom half. And so, to me, did I have the strongest arm? No, but there's a lot that goes into it. I made a lot of deep comeback throws, even there in Cleveland on the lake. Like, Will Howard's more than capable of doing those things. And I think also there are certain things as you grow as a professional player, you learn kind of, I'll call them the tricks of the trade, whether it's footwork, your base, you can improve arm strength. And so to me, Will Howard has the frame to do it. And with coaching and mechanics, his arm strength only going to get better, not worse.
Well, you mentioned on the lake, so I want to know how it did impact you, because you said that you had, you know, little issue doing it, but yet it's at the same time, AFC North, you know, when you're playing in Baltimore, when you're playing in Pittsburgh, not to mention here, why is it that so many of the draft pundits, and it seems NFL teams, they ogle over that arm strength every year in the draft?
Well, I grew up in it. I mean, look, you know how it is in Cleveland. When it starts to snow, it's time to go out and play football in the backyard. So I loved it, and to me, the key is not so much the arm strength, it's throwing a great spiral. If you throw a good spiral, it's going to cut through the wind. And Bill Belichick would always tell us, the wind and the elements will always affect the kicking game more than it will in the passing game. Because as NFL quarterback, you throw a good spiral and you have decent zip on it, it's going to cut through the wind. And so obviously that's a big thing when you're playing in the elements, which is another reason why, and I know the stadium is a hot topic, it's an advantage to go play out there on the lake if you embrace it. Now, what that means is you can't go in the bubble and practice when it's bad weather. You got to practice when it's outside. You got to embrace the elements. It's kind of like Bane in Batman. He's like, you merely adopted the dark. I was born in it. Well, you can't just adopt the cold. You have to be born and bred and live through it and then go out there on Sunday and you're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars in December. You already know you got them beat because you have the elements behind you and you have to embrace those things. And so I always enjoyed it. Obviously, playing there in Cleveland, it's what I grew up in. And those, to me, that's football weather.
Oh, it sounds like Brian's making a passionate argument to keep the stadium outdoors and on the lakefront. That's what it sounds like over here. Listen to you interjecting politics within your football.
He just unleashed a torrent.
Yes, he did.
Of opinions, some hot takes in there, some things that cut against the norm of what everybody is saying in this draft. Brian, I don't know what you've been doing. Apparently, you weren't doing anything with flag football out in Germany. You were just piecing together this diatribe for today.
Hey, I got to keep my eye on Cleveland at all times, especially with this weekly call-in. And obviously, my brothers keep me updated. They're obviously fans. They give me hot takes, and I have there's a crew out at the Panera and Avon. I get updates from those guys, what they want to hear, what they want to talk about. So I'm well connected in the Cleveland area.
The great Brian Hoyer joining us here. All right, Joe, is there a name like you don't want to hear coming up at number two for the Browns, and that includes trade back? You can say you'd also don't want to trade back.
No, I would hate for them to trade back. Like I said, to me, really, the Browns are in the best position because they have the opportunity to draft the best player, whatever that is in their mind, because they have Joe Flacco now. You have Kenny Pickett. And I know the fans are going to say, what about the future? I really believe you draft the best player, whoever you deem that to be, whether that's Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, and then you get, whether it's you trade back in late in the first round because you want to add that extra year for a quarterback, whoever that might be. Look, we don't even know what's going to happen with Shedeur Sanders. I mean, when I hear Albert Breer say there's not many teams that have a first-round grade on him, he could slide. Albert is very connected, and I've talked to several coaches around the league who have kind of confirmed that for me. So you may get another chance at Shedeur. I don't know. We don't know how it's going to play out. But I would not draft Shedeur at two with the hopes that we'll get some. You go out and you get the best player. You improve your team. Like I said, I do believe they're a playoff team with Joe Flacco playing this year. And I think if you can find a way, and you have to see how the draft's playing out, if the quarterbacks continue to slide, maybe you can wait to the second round for a Will Howard or even a Jackson Dart. I don't think the team would be that much different if you had Shedeur Sanders, Jackson Dart, Will Howard. I think they're all in that category. And the thing I love about Will Howard is just his attitude, his aura. And who's not going to love a guy from Ohio State heading up to Cleveland to play quarterback and not to mention learn from a guy like Joe Flacco?
All right, Brian, I got two more I have to ask you, and we're running out of time. This is all good stuff. I want to get away from the draft for just a second. Aaron Rodgers, what would the Steelers be best served? Would they be best served moving forward without him or like, hey, we got to wait on Aaron Rodgers, see what they have?
I think if you're the Steelers, you give them a date, an ultimatum, and say, look, Aaron, for the benefit of our team, we have to know if we're going to have you or not, because when we go into this draft next week, we have to make those plans accordingly. So I think they would actually benefit from having Aaron for a year, possibly two, depending on how his health holds up. Obviously, they were a playoff team last year. They've added DK Metcalf. I think he actually would pair well with a Mike Tomlin. I was only there for a few short weeks, but I actually loved Coach Tomlin and the way he coached the team, and kind of a no-nonsense. You see guys like Cam Hayward saying, look, either you want to be a Steeler or not. It is kind of a, I don't want to give them compliments here on a Cleveland radio show, but it is one of those organizations where it's no drama. Like, you either come and do it or you don't, but you got to at some point say, look, we got to make a decision here, Aaron, and move on, because we can't go into the draft not knowing what our quarterback situation is.
All right, this is unfair, but I did think about it during the interview. Are you familiar with what's going on with Nico Iamalieva down at Tennessee? Have you been brought up to speed?
Yeah, I've kind of hit on it. Look, this is what happens when you have no rules, no regulations. It's the Wild West. I mean, imagine an NFL player being like, I'm going to hold out. I have a contract already, and the team being like, whatever, get out of here. Like, you can't do that. And so when there's no rules and regulations, it's literally the Wild, Wild West. So he wants to hold out for more money, and they're like, fine, peace out, Holmes. Like, we don't need you. It's just, to me, the whole college landscape is wild. I don't know how they're going to rein it back in. Obviously, he had an agreement. He's trying to change it. I don't know. I mean, look, that's what the CBA is for in the NFL. They're going to have to figure out some type of rules and regulations and how to deal with these things.
Brian Hoyer joining us this morning, brought to you by Montrose. Brian, thank you so much. You're outstanding as always. Can't wait to talk to you again next week. And people are bustling over the Will Howard stuff, so thank you very much.
All right, no problem, guys. See ya.
See you as well. Brian Hoyer joining us. Go ahead there, Tone.
Brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose, click, cruise at MontroseFordAkron.com.
All right, as he made you think differently about Will Howard and what he just said about Nico Iamalieva, you know, there's something that an Ohio State fan does have to consider here when it comes to that young man. We'll get into that coming up. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, that's in 5 minutes on The Fan. Two things. Brian Hoyer was awesome. Three things. That was a great rejoin. Third thing is, it's 900 days officially until the next Batman movie. They made an announcement this morning. It's 900 days until the next Batman.
We're going to get a White Lotus.
So it'll be here before you know it. Be here. Boom. 900 days will pass just like that, friends. So, Brian, listen, guys, I love Will Howard. We all know I love Will Howard. I like his processing. I think he's gotten so much better. I think there's a lot of untapped potential. I think he's the perfect project quarterback. I understand he might not be the perfect project quarterback for a team like the Cleveland Browns. I love Will Howard. I'm interested to see how his NFL career shapes up. I really am. I've seen other quarterbacks be QB for the Cleveland Browns and be shot out of a cannon. I mean, I saw Carlton... Ohio State, 12-gauge. Come on. 2015.
My God.
Cardale Jones. I saw Cardale Jones.
How quickly we forget.
I saw Cardale Jones in the playoff be rumored to be a first-round pick, and then we saw what happened the next year.
He would have been a first-round pick.
Exactly.
Come out right there and then.
So I've seen some Ohio State quarterbacks shoot through the roof. I really like Will Howard. I've watched the John Gruden thing a couple of times. I don't know if they're going to be able to take him. I don't know if they're going to be in a position to take him. Because you're at Joe Flacco, you're at Kenny Pickett, and in the middle there's quarterback X. And I still think you have to take that quarterback relatively high. I still think honestly, guys, if they take a quarterback number 33 overall, what will you think of the Browns in 2025? Well, you think they will finish with a better record? I mean, Brian's saying that Joe Flacco can make him a playoff team.
That stopped me in my tracks right there.
I'm not going that far. Brian's an excitable boy.
Remember, Vegas has him at like 4.5, 5 wins.
Yes.
And I don't think Joe Flacco changed the Vegas number, did it?
I don't think so. But I hear what he's saying about Will Howard. I love it. But I think that if you don't take a guy... Like, if they trade back up for Shedeur Sanders, I think a lot of people are going to be excited. I don't think that the Pittsburgh Steelers should scare you from doing it. I look more towards number 24 in the NFL draft. It makes a lot of sense considering the relationships that are there. But if they wanted to trade up, and if it were Jaxson Dart or, you know, Jalen Milroe, I put back in that category of project. But that's why I think that somewhere in the first two rounds, whether it be late Thursday night, next Thursday night, which is, we're getting there now, folks. Whether it be late next Thursday night or very early next Friday morning, Friday night, they're going to take a quarterback, and it's going to change the perception for some of how they feel this football team is going to perform in 2025. I don't think it's going to be able to bring everybody on board because I think there's whoever they're going to take. I mean, those can be some polarizing picks there at the top when it comes to quarterback. But I think it's going to change that perception. I'd be surprised, but I'd be encouraged if they took one of the other guys later on Friday evening, one of those third-round picks, maybe if Will Howard's still there, maybe if Jalen Milroe's still there, one of those guys. I know that Jalen Milroe has been invited to the draft. Malik Willis was invited to the draft. So that, it means something, but at the same time, how much does it mean? But, man, this just tells me, I think they got something cooked up over there in Berea. I don't know what it is, but it tells me that 33 might not stay 33, and somewhere, somehow, I can't say it's going to be Shedeur Sanders, but somewhere, somehow, they're going to come home with somebody there who plays that position.
What did you
think? Maybe late Thursday night.
What did you think also, because there was a lot of fascinating things, topics brought up by Brian there. What did you think of the arm strength stuff? I mean, basically, Brian, somebody who battled that label. Remember, Brian, you got to go back to the Johnny Manziel training camp. When the two of them were going toe-to-toe, what did everybody say? Oh, my God, look at Manziel's arm compared to Brian's.
When you don't have arm strength, and that's true. I mean, Johnny had a strong – I mean, Baker could throw the ball through the wall for crying out loud. The difference with people didn't think that Baker had a strong arm because he was only 6 feet tall. The difference is Baker needed his whole body. He needed his core. Yes, he needed to be able to set his feet and deliver. And if he sets his feet and to deliver, he can throw the ball through the wall. He can throw the ball very hard. But that's a different conversation. If you're not going to have a strong arm, then it does make everything else more important. It makes the relationship with wide receivers more important. It makes the processing more important. I mean, Brian might hear this and call in and say, Ken, you're wrong. I played the position for 18 years, but this is how I feel about it. If you're not going to have a strong arm, it makes everything else that much more important for you to be successful. Film study, cutting up a defense, figure out what a defense is going to do to you, figure out how they like to play you, figure out how the defensive coordinator likes to play you, how the guys in the secondary like to play you, okay? Your own offensive line, how that blocking scheme is going to work out for you, the relationship with your receivers, with your tight ends, with your running backs, who you're going to be able to find, the weather that day, because now you have to anticipate even better. So you got to know, so if I'm Kenny Carman and I'm throwing to Anthony Lyman and I don't have a very strong arm, I have to know that Anthony Lima likes to do this in that situation and put the ball where Anthony's going to want it without just telling everybody in the stadium that I'm going to Anthony on this pass. So you have to be that much smarter. Will has a lot of experience. So that makes him a worthwhile project. Will Jalen Milroe be able to do that? I'm not sure because he was pull the ball down and take off. But Will could also be pull the ball down and take off. So both of those guys have it against them. That's why when we talk about Jalen Milroe being first round, I go, whoa. I get he's yoked. I get he's a physical specimen. He can take off and he's lightning quick. But is he going to be able to do what's necessary to be able? He has a strong enough arm, certainly. I mean, he either throws a Hail Mary or he takes off with the ball. But is he going to be able to process in the time needed this year for them to put him out there on the field? That's why I don't know if either the Browns are a fit for Will Howard or Jalen Milroe.
Well, remember, the Will Howard, part of the conversation, who is it that was on with us telling us over the last few weeks that he actually was making the decisions, breaking down defenses, you know, during the playoff. That was Todd McShay. And I thought that was very, very interesting. And it was befitting of somebody who had had the experience that he had had. Remember, it wasn't just in just appear out of nowhere this year. He was playing in big games with Kansas State. Remember, he couldn't get over the Texas hump until he got over the Texas hump.
Yeah.
Had some help with Jack Sawyer along the way, obviously. But that's why that playoff run changed everything for Will Howard. Oh. Remember, this is a guy that before, right after that Michigan loss, I remember looking, going, man, I guess the Howard thing didn't work out like we thought it would after the Michigan game, because I was looking the draft stock. I mean, they were talking about him as a third-day guy after that loss. Now, you've got plenty of guys, not just Brian Hoyer, and, hyping up Will Howard.
You know, it's very weird to me because, like, it's such an interesting draft because if I just bring up the stats of games played and things like that, like, I'd like, if I'm going to take a project guy or something like that, not first overall, things like that, I want a lot of experience. Like, Tyler Shuck, people say he has a lot of experience because he came out in the same draft class or it came out in the same recruiting class as Penei Sewell. In 2017 to 2018, he's played in 42 career games. Jalen Milroe wasn't out until 2021 that fall. He's played in 38. That's just because you were there for many years doesn't mean... Now, there was an injury there, obviously, but just because you were there for many years, there's years, but there's actual experience. So it's a very weird thing. Like Shedeur Sanders, I can't say he doesn't process. He does process. Holds onto the ball a little bit longer. His offensive line sucks, which is a terrible mix for everything. It was worse in 2023 than it was in 2024, but it's a terrible mix for everybody involved. But if you want a guy who throws with anticipation because he doesn't have the strong arm in the draft, okay, there you go with Shedeur Sanders. So you have good and bad mixed bags with all these guys. Can he process to the NFL level? In these things, I don't know. I can't tell you for sure whether or not he can on Shedeur or Jalen or Will or Jackson Dart or any one of these other guys. Tyler Shuck, I can't. Because things that I like to fall into, it's all over the map. So I that's why I wish, of all the things that we said last Friday when we got excited about bringing in Joe Flacco, and I think a lot of it was just because, yeah, man, we want a guy that everybody can like. And a lot of people like Joe Flacco. But one of the things that I really regret was starting to cross people off the list of guys that the Browns might be connected to, because I don't think Joe means anything to that. I think they could start the season with Joe. I think they could start the season with Kenny Pickett. What Zach says I think is true. It will be a true competition, and they'll find out. Lou in North Royalton, you're next up in the Fan. Hello, Lou.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not terrible, my friend. Go right on ahead.
Hey, I want to make two quick points. I called in, I think it was last week, and you guys were talking about Travis Hunter and how slight he is and this and that. And I told you guys, Lima didn't give me a chance to explain myself, of course, but I said that it would be a wasted pick. And then when I got off the phone with you guys, you said that the example you gave is what happens if he's on an offensive play. I think Chad OJ coaches the wide receivers, and he gets hurt on a play on an offensive play. So you've basically wasted your number two overall pick. I don't know why you guys are still on the fence. I mean, you had Brian Hoyer in there talking, and I'm glad that you guys had him because he made the points that I was going to make. You draft Abdul Carter, and then all of a sudden now you again have the number one defense like you had in 2023. The second point I want to make is when you were on vacation, congratulations for your success.
Thank you.
And Daryl was filling in for you. I said the same thing. I said, go out and sign Flacco. And then you saw what he did with the Browns. Flacco is made for Stefanski's offense.
Well, I don't mean to run you off, Lou. So what do you want to do? Because I got to hit to the break. What do you want him to do?
I want them to draft Abdul Carter and okay. Then go, like you said, I want them to grab Will Howard. Let him sit for a year, 2 years, whatever, and then you're going to see what the fruits of the Cleveland Browns success when they put Howard in there.
Okay, Lou, I got to run. Thank you very much for the call. All right, we got McKenzie with us. So we had a Braves announcer on TV get a girl's number on the Braves television network. Do we have a little bit of this? We don't
got
to go through the whole thing.
Too much of it.
All right, let's see if we can go parse through it as quickly as we possibly can. Go ahead and hit it.
Wiley, how are things up there at the Corona rooftop?
Things are pretty great, Brandon. We're having a lot of fun up here at the Corona rooftop. Who do we got here? What's your name?
My name's Lauren.
Lawrence, all right.
And I'm Kayla.
Kayla, and you guys hang out at the rooftop lounge often?
Once a year I come out to visit.
Okay, well, we timed it pretty well. All right, good. How are you guys feeling about rooting for the Braves today?
Oof, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
What about you? Are you a Braves fan now?
Not quite.
All right, I'm gonna go to work up here, guys. Good luck the rest of the way.
Okay, Wiley. You got four innings to get the numbers.
So he ends up getting the numbers. He asks them for the numbers on the air. He gets their numbers. And this has taken the internet by storm so far this morning because there are plenty of people like, hey, you know what? Shoot or shoot, you shoot your shot. I wondered, can Mitch do this with the Lake County Captains?
I'm still trying to figure out what the hit was supposed to be.
It's one of those probably selling the new areas of the ballpark.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, they call it the Corona rooftop, even though I think they're, they're on the road there, if I'm not mistaken, because he's saying rooting for the Braves or whatever. I mean, it's an 8-4 baseball game.
They're in Toronto, right?
That's what it is.
Yes.
So they're definitely just trying to kill some time.
Yes, they are.
They sped up the clock, and they're still trying to kill time.
And sideline reporters, Kenny, as you know, if you've got something to say, you just say into because you're not live all the time.
They've changed it now, yeah.
But you could go, hey, you can come to me. I've got something. And what's the thing you got? Oh, I'm just with two random
and generally
women.
It's, you're talking right into your mic, but they have your audio feed down, so the producer still hears you, or whoever's on the other end still hears you.
So it seems like the internet's 50-50. The internet is half, they like this, and this is cute, whatever, and then there's a lot of people who are saying this is completely unprofessional. So McKenzie joins us right now, because we're guys, I have no idea. McKenzie joins us right now. Can Mitch do something like this over at the cat? Unless it's specifically written in the rules, like, you cannot do that, don't you dare do it. Would you? Would this be something that Mitch is allowed to do?
I think over the loudspeaker he should.
Because it's part of the show.
It's part of the show.
Yeah.
Mitch, if you see a cute girl, put yourself out there and do it.
Wow. I appreciate it.
Okay,
I appreciate the advice.
There we go.
But I don't know if the loudspeaker is the same dynamic as just being a guy down on the sideline report. And he's with those two girls. I'm basically broadcasting it over to potentially hundreds of spectators.
You're like a disembodied voice. But you're just up there.
You are. Like I am right now.
The voice of God, yes.
So I find this interesting. Tegan Brown is a television reporter in Carolina. She says, I don't really comment on stuff like this, but glorifying this moment is not okay. Ooh. If this were a female reporter, people would call it unprofessional. But it's a male reporter, which means people will find it funny and tweet about how great this is. We thought it a little bizarre.
I did think it was a little bizarre.
But funny. I admit.
Yeah.
Would we have gone off if it was a female? If she was making a move? First of all, how many females would need to make a move in that scenario? Normally, it's the other way around anyway.
There's another female perspective here, and I'm not going to give her name. She has her own show that she could do it on.
Okay.
Says, doing it in public so he doesn't get rejected. Weird, gross, desperate.
That man, he had
strong.
No game. He wasn't trying to be weird.
Let's play just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Number.
He said they told me to get your name.
I'm dead serious. They're saying in my ear right now, she didn't believe me because she thinks you guys are not. I'm making this up. Even if you guys weren't, I might use that in the future. That's actually a pretty good move.
This is unbelievable.
So could they do this like they do when people do they ask to get engaged and they stage it and the girl turns the guy down on getting engaged on the score? You've seen that before.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I don't think it did not come off like that. And TV production's a lot different than
Audio Braves
a
TV.
Ballpark production. The ballpark production, you absolutely do things like that where two people are doing something and somebody dumps a bucket of popcorn on their head. Like sometimes those are... It's a little reveal the curtain type of stuff, but
I mean, you could absolutely turn a guy even in that moment. Can you turn a guy down?
You can, yeah.
Or give a fake number?
It definitely wasn't fake. If you listen to the beginning of the clip, she says her name is Lauren.
Well, it's not. I'm not saying it's fake.
He goes Lawrence.
Yeah, nice. Lawrence.
He calls her Lawrence.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Gets her name
I forgot
wrong.
About the Lawrence part. Yeah,
yeah, but does it seem like they're establishing
what
some rapport there?
What is up, Scotty? What's up, my man?
Oh, sorry. I thought we were waiting on Lawrence. Sorry. Go ahead, Tone.
So does it seem like they're establishing a rapport there? Are they building chemistry? Are they under the gun because they're on TV and the light and the camera is directed right at them?
He just seems a little awkward in the moment. I think it's cute. Like I said, I think it's harmless. You know what? People get mad because men don't, shoot their shot anymore. Well, here he's doing it. And now everybody's...
But I don't know if he's serious. Is he serious or he could be just like, hey, thanks for playing along. Have a good
could
night.
Could be, regardless, who
well,
cares?
Well, it depends. If he's in Toronto, is there more games in a series? Does he have a couple nights at the
it's
hotel
Monday, yeah.
to get
well,
to go around? Yeah.
It's American League versus National League. I don't think there's going to be many more times they go up there.
Who cares? I mean, he's there right now.
You do now. Every year you go.
He's got a per diem from either the team or the network paying him, so he have a nice steak dinner that night.
I mean, if they're interested.
Now he's got a pick.
How about the other friend that didn't get asked the number? How does she feel?
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah, I think she might
have been unavailable.
Oh, that makes it easier.
Yeah, I can't
okay,
see her
good.
Hand. But he's got to navigate that. Good. That's all part of the game.
That's interesting, Mackenzie. We thank you. And
it's crazy that someone could meet their future spouse on a TV
yes.
hit.
Yes.
Yes.
Who would do that?
That's a good point, Ollie.
Sounds like I need to get on TV.
That's true.